This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals only. Welcome to the Oncology Knowledge into Practice podcast, where we discuss game-changing topics in clinical oncology with leading experts in the field. In this first series, we're looking at a relatively new class of drugs, the immune checkpoint inhibitors. This episode is supported by an educational grant from Merck Sharp & Dohme Corp, who has had no influence on the content or choice of faculty. If you'd like to check out any of the publications that we mention in this episode, there's references and links for these in the episode notes. We're your hosts, Hannah Wilgar
and Andre Grasa. In today's episode, we're going to consider the benefits and drawbacks of cytology and histology-based assessments of PD-L1 status. To answer our questions on this topic, we welcome the expertise of Frédéric Penoyorka, professor of pathology at the University of Clermont-Ferrand and general director of Jean Perrin Cancer Center. But first, we'll spend a few minutes covering the available published literature. If you're already familiar with cytology and histology-based assessments of PD-L1 status, do feel free to skip ahead to the interview at the 5-minute mark.
So as we discussed in our previous episode, PD-L1 is a valuable biomarker in certain tumor types, where it can help to identify patients who are eligible for specific immunotherapy compounds or combinations. A number of indications for PD-L1 and PD-1 agents specify that patients must be confirmed as PD-L1 positive in order to qualify for treatment. But in day-to-day practice, how should this be done?
As described by Gosney and colleagues in their 2020 review, the majority of PD-L1 expression testing in clinical trials relies on histological samples and their use of immunohistochemistry assays. However, in real-world settings, it is not always possible to use a histological sample. For example, in non-small cell lung cancer, up to 40% of patients with advanced disease only have cytological specimens available for diagnosis and analysis of biomarkers, including other targetable mutations.
Similarly, Heyman and colleagues state that the majority of NSCLC patients with locally advanced or metastatic disease are unlikely to benefit from surgical resection. As such, minimally invasive techniques are used to provide a small histological specimen for initial diagnosis. But these small samples face limitations for molecular testing, meaning either the patient undergoes unnecessary surgery to secure an adequate tissue sample for histological analysis, or a cytological specimen is utilised. It is worth noting that cytological testing is routinely used for detecting EGFR, ALK and ROS1 alterations in NSCLC, and so, as Gosney and colleagues propose, this provides the basis to expand cytological testing to include PD-L1.
However, available assays have only been validating using histological specimens, casting doubt on the validity of using cytological specimens for these assays. Similarly, data are very limited regarding the reliability and reproducibility of using cytological specimens to assess PD-L1 expression. This has created an area of debate among experts in the field. Should cytological approaches be considered where histological specimens are unavailable?
Heyman and colleagues are in support of this motion. In their 2020 review, they noted that EBUS-guided aspiration of intrathoracic lymph nodes is a preferred approach for diagnosis, staging, and profiling of NSCLC. Excluding such specimens from PD-L1 testing potentially denies patients from appropriate, effective treatment. Similarly, small-scale studies such as Wagner et al. 2018 have demonstrated accurate PD-L1 assessment using cytology specimens obtained by EBUS.
Also in support of this is Gosney and colleagues' systematic review. Looking across 15 studies, the group's analysis suggested that using cytology specimens was feasible and achieved good levels of concordance between cytology and histology specimens using PD-L1 expression cutoffs of 1% and 50%. Considering many real-world centers are already frequently using cytology specimens to evaluate PD-L1, the group conclude that there is no convincing evidence that cytology specimens are inadequate or inferior to histology specimens for assessing PD-L1 expression in NSCLC.
Those who oppose the idea, however, emphasize the risk of relying on small sample sizes, limited data, and unvalidated approaches when considering treatment approaches in such severe disease. Looking at those same trials, Gosney et al.'s review was limited to only 15 trials, and only 9 of these were eligible for concordance analysis, Within these analyses, concordance was only 90%, leaving a notable margin of error for patients to have their PD-L1 status underestimated and given suboptimal treatment. Similarly, looking at Wagner et al.'s 2018 study comparing PD-L1 staining accuracy for cytological and histological specimens, the EBUS cytological approach was associated with false negatives, where specimens were 50 cells or fewer in size. Overall, this contributes to the continuing ambiguity surrounding the validity and reliability of cytological approaches and raises the question, which is of greater risk to a patient, an untrustworthy result or no result at all?
With both sides of the debate posting valid points, how should everyday healthcare professionals proceed in assessing PD-L1? Joining us today to help clarify the decision is Frédéric Panayiorka, professor of pathology at the University of Clermont-Ferrand and general director of Jean Perrin Cancer Center.
So, considering the debate regarding cytology versus histology to assess PD-L1 status, what are the strongest reasons not to use cytological approaches?
This question for me is rather difficult to answer because I'm a strong believer in cytology for PD-L1, but also for molecular testing. So let's see what could be the strongest reason not to use cytological approaches for PD-L1 screening. It could be a low yield or an insufficient cellularity that we can have in some cytological specimen, but it's exactly the same for the lung biopsies. And I think that what could be really complicated, especially in lung, is that sometimes we have small tumor cells without a significant nuclear pleomorphism, and they look like macrophages. So it could be very difficult to make the difference between that, and we know that macrophages can stain very strongly for PD-L1. So it could be a possible mistakes. It could be possible mistakes for a false positive PD-L1 staining. So it could be challenging. But I think for me the biggest limitation for the use of cytological specimen for PD-L1 testing is when we have when the scoring that we use requires tabulation of immune cells, because usually it's better on surgical specimen or biopsy on tissue specimen, because we have to evaluate the immune cells that are at the contact of the tumor cells. And on a cytology specimen, we cannot be sure that they are actually really at the contact of the tumor cells in the tissue. So for me, it will be the biggest limitation. But if we have to evaluate only tumor cells, so TPS, cytology is a very reliable assay.
Great, thank you. So conversely, what is the most convincing evidence supporting the use of cytological specimens for PD-L1 assessment?
First of all, and foremost, cytology specimen represent a significant proportion of lung cancer specimen. And sometimes it's the only thing we have. And we know that in the experience of some hospitals, it could be up to 2/3 of the specimen that are available that are only cytology specimen. So of course, if we want to give an access to the patient to a potential specific therapy option, we need to have tissue, and we have access to this cytology specimen. It's easiest sometimes, and some tumors can be very necrotic, so the biopsy can be very poor in terms of tumor cell content. Another advantage for me of cytology specimen is that we have the acquisition of the tissue using a back and forth or a fanning tissue disruptive motion is something that is helping us to sample a broader area than just a tissue biopsy. It's something that can capture tumor heterogeneity. For me, cytology specimens are really reliable when we are able to use tissue blocks, cell blocks, sorry. So when we have those cell blocks, we have sometimes a preservation of some degree of architecture, and we can see some nice adenocarcinoma group of cells or squamous carcinoma group of cells. So having a kind of preserved architecture. So for me, those cytology specimens help to have a greater access for the patient to the testing. We know that it is really feasible with a good level of concordance with the cutoff for PD-L1 in lung, for instance, of 1% or 50%. It was a recent review on that in lung cancer at the beginning of the year, and they showed that the agreement is close to 90%. And the specimen suitability for PD-L1 testing is of 92% if you look through the literature, which is extremely high.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that. So in your local setting, does your lab utilize cytological specimens for PD-L1 status? And if so, why?
In my hospital, we have access to biopsy and cytology specimen. We also have access to lung cytology or to EBUS cytology, so cytology of the lymph nodes. And I would say that we use around 25 to 30% of our specimen for PD-L1, but also for molecular biology will be cytology specimen, because we don't have access to the tissue, or the tissue is really of a poor cellularity. We use cell blocks in priority, and we are really very satisfied by that.
Interesting, thank you. So finally, what advice do you have for our listeners who may frequently encounter issues surrounding histological testing approaches? Should they utilize cytological approaches instead?
My advice will be, first of all, if you have access to an histological sample, you first have to have a rigorous management of your biopsy with tissue sparing procedure. So having an experienced technician cutting the blocks, starting by saving slides for immunohistochemistry, and then spare tissue for molecular techniques. And I think this is, of course, something that is completely mandatory if you work on tissue biopsy, and don't do sequential molecular testing. It's really better to do NGS for that, for tissue sparing. If you don't have access to an histological specimen, or if the histological specimen is highly necrotic or of with a poor cellularity, use cytology, and it's really reliable. There are some things that are very important to take into account is the quality of the cytology specimen, the fixation that you are going to use. You should use formalin fixation when you do the cell blocks. If you do that, and if you see when you do the staining that the cellularity is okay, you can really be confident in your PD-L1 testing. There are limited data on the use of Papanicolaou 10 slides like smears or so be more careful on the interpretation on smears, because the really good concordance is with the cell blocks. But you can really trust cytology specimen for PD-L1 testing.
Great. Thank you so much for answering our questions today. It's been really great to have you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me, and I hope that I convinced you that cytology is a really a very reliable technology and approach for PD-L1 testing.
So that brings us to the end of today's episode. To summarize, although the majority of PD-L1 clinical trials rely on histological samples, if you do not have access to a good quality histology specimen, some experts recommend cell block cytology as a reliable method for testing PD-L1 TBS. Again, if you'd like to check out any of the publications that we've mentioned today, you'll find the references for these in the episode notes.
So, the next episode in our immune checkpoint inhibitor series will be out in 2 weeks' time, and we'll be talking with Dr. Martin Reck about using immune checkpoint inhibitors specifically in NSCLC. If you enjoyed today, please do subscribe and join us then. And if you have time to leave us a review, we'd love to hear your feedback. If you want more, you can also find free accredited continuing medical education modules on our website, onkip.com, and you can find a link to this in the episode notes. So please do check it out. If you're a Twitter fan, our handle is @onkip.
Thank you, and see you again soon.